Are you ready?
Oh yeah!
Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Welcome to another episode of Wayback Wrestling Mania. As always, I'm your host, Adam. And with me this week is a special guest host. I'm going to turn it over to him to introduce himself. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. My name is Tavo Borrego, and it is definitely an honor to be invited.
It's a pleasure to have you, and we look forward to discussing this particular episode. We're going to talk about WWE's pay-per-view for the most recent pay-per-view, which was Money in the Bank, the 2019 edition. But before we do that, I want to just get some wrestling background for maybe the listeners that don't know much about you, specifically in terms of WWE.
All right.
So when did you start following the product?
All right. I started following WWE when it was actually called WWF.
Yes.
I'm an old man. I'll say this. I'll be honest. I'm 45 years old. So I've been watching wrestling since the 80s with, the big guys, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Paul Orndorff, Rick Rude.
Yes.
A little bit later on, Kurt Hennig. That was a great, I know sometimes people kind of tend to criticize the 80s, but I always thought that era was fantastic in story-wise and also with talent.
Oh, that was a great decade. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's when I basically started watching wrestling. I mean, I did other, I was watching other products besides that one.
Right.
I'm originally from Puerto Rico, and I did watch a lot of wrestling in Puerto Rico. They did get, they tended to get like good names. One of my favorite was Bruiser Brody. He tended to went a lot to Puerto Rico, and unfortunately, that's when he was actually stabbed and killed.
Oh boy, that's not a good thing for sure.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I mean, I love wrestling. What can I say?
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit younger than you, not too much, but I grew up watching the same, the same era, the mid to late 80s.
Yeah.
And that was a good, definitely a good period in my mind.
Absolutely.
Who was you, if you had to pick your favorite of the WWE, the superstars of the 80s, who would you pick?
Of the 80s. Oh my gosh. Oh wow. The obvious answer would be Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, dude, that's fine too. Yeah.
He was so charismatic.
Oh, yeah.
And oh my God, he can put like a good story. I'll be honest. I mean, he'll even admit it. He wasn't the greatest wrestler out
right,
there.
Yeah. For
and
sure.
He'll, but story wise and being charismatic with, and also being a great storyteller in the ring. You just watch that Andre the Giant match. Heck, even watch the one he did with The Rock, the WrestleMania match.
That was
fantastic.
That's one of my favorites. And
yeah, I mean, they brought the roof down.
Both of those were actually one of my favorites. So while we're on the, is Hulk Hogan the choice you're going to go with? Or are you going to stick with the obvious?
I'm going to say it's a toss up. It's always been a toss up between him and Macho Man.
Okay. Well, both good choices.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with either one. So since you brought up, we're talking about the 80s and your favorite decade, and Hogan and Savage are your favorite, your top two, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to pick a favorite match of that period.
Wow, a favorite match of that
WWE,
period.
What would it be?
Wow.
Like the one that okay, maybe let's exclude the Andre and Hogan one because you just mentioned it.
Yeah.
But aside from Andre Hogan.
Does it have to be exclusively for WWF, or can it be like any match?
If you want to throw another, okay, why don't we do this? Why don't we do one WWF, WWE, because you that's what we're talking about today.
All right.
And then one off the books. Yeah.
All right. So as for my WWF or E, whatever you want to, like, you know, for me, it's always going to be WWF.
Yeah, I hear you. I understand. Yeah.
I'm going to choose any match between Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat. My God, those two guys can put up a match and great storytelling in the ring.
Indeed, yeah.
And for WWF, like a good match, besides the Andre the Giant one, I'm trying to think. I'm actually going to have to pick Ricky Steamboat again with Macho Man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. There's something about Steamboat when he works, you know, when you see him working with, like, and he's, like, comfortable with, you know, the other, like, person, like, you know, like Ric Flair and even Macho Man. Man, he could, like, put up a show.
He was great. Yeah,
absolutely. So those, I think those would be like my two top matches.
All good choices, my friend. All good choices.
You know, I mean, and of course, I mean, like, you can always pick. And again, I'll have to go back. You know, ever watch that first, like, you know, that first match between Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan? It's you know, it's just great storytelling.
It is. The fact that. That pro wrestling is a physical form of storytelling really got reconfirmed when I watched Double or Nothing from AEW.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mind you, that's not what we're going to talk about, even though everybody wants to talk about that.
I know. Yeah, but I understand. Yeah.
This podcast is going to get there, but eventually. But not this episode. This episode, we're talking about Money in the Bank, which all in all, I thought was a pretty solid pay-per-view.
I have to agree. It was solid all around. Yeah, you know, great matches.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there are some weird things that, you know, once we get into the matches, we'll talk about them. But, you know.
Yes.
But, yeah. But all in all, I thought it was a great, one of their best shows that I've seen in a while, actually, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So why don't we get right into the matches?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
And share some thoughts on them.
All right.
So the first one up that's on the list here, and we used Dave Meltzer's list as a barometer. So we're going off of what he has, going first, second, and third, and whatnot. So the first one he's got listed here is Daniel Bryan and Rowan versus the Usos.
Which I believe
was on the pre-show, correct?
It was, yeah.
So... Knowing that WWE is really putting an emphasis or starting to try and put a re-emphasis on tag team division, what are your thoughts on, and that's in part due to, I believe, pressure from AEW, what do you think of this match? What were some of your thoughts?
I mean, the Usos are, like, solid, you know, they can work and they'll put... I even think that actually in their sleep they can put like a great match. You know, they don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. So here, like the ones you have to like really see were, you know, Daniel Bryan and
Rowan.
But I thought it was a solid match. I mean, you can't go wrong with Daniel Bryan and doing his, you know, like, you know, in the ring. He's a great storyteller. He, you know, and as a heel. This dude is, as a heel, he's, like, you know, top-notch. He's actually, in my opinion, he's one of the best heels out there right now. Like, top five. Mm-hmm. No questions about it. I like that curse, the contrast between him and Daniel Bryan, I know he's used before when he was tag-teaming with... what's that big guy is? Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot his name.
You talking about Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, because
Kane,
you know before
Kane. Wasn't he with Kane?
Thank you. Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot Kane's name. but all around solid match. Can't go wrong with with the Usos. They, you know, their spots are like, especially those high spots. They like to do, you know, with like throwing themselves with their finishers. And I was actually, and I'll say pleasantly surprised, the guy that got pinned was actually Daniel Bryan. I mean, surprised because A, it's Daniel Bryan, but it doesn't really matter for him if he wins or loses.
It was a non-title match, correct?
It was a non-title match. Yes. Because that's right. Because the Usos right now are on. They're supposed to be on Raw. And that's right. And Daniel Bryan and
Rowan.
Man, I keep forgetting that name. I can't believe it. Our SmackDown. So I think they did it because this match actually had kind of like a little bit of a story to it. You know, with Shane McMahon trying to like give him the belts to.
Yeah, because it's almost like they haven't earned it, right?
That's
a story point anyway.
Which was very interesting. And they actually, because it was interesting because they actually, in that SmackDown, I think it was, they actually won. They beat the Usos.
Yeah.
Then. And this one, the Usos won back. So I'm wondering if they're going to have a third match.
Well, I think my thing is, let me just say, I agree with you. I thought the match was solid. And I think anytime you get three out of those four being the Usos and Daniel Bryan in the ring, you're going to get a top quality
match. Yeah.
I haven't seen enough of Rowan yet to determine what he is. But I think, he's more the power guy. Whereas, you can get Daniel Bryan to do all the finesse and all that kind of stuff. But what I like, look, despite my misgivings of this whole wild card thing, which I think that dilutes the idea of having guys on a particular brand.
Yes.
If every week this guy can show up, that guy can show up, and everybody and your uncle can show up, I think it dilutes the brand. Having said that, you'd want to see, I think what I'd like to see WWE do, and I don't know if you've listened to our WrestleMania wrap up or show, but when we talk about that, I long maintain that I think there are too many titles. And so to have this, a Raw tag team title and a SmackDown, I think certain championships should be accessible on both brands. And I think the tag team championship is one of them. And so what I'd like to see is like pare it down to one set of, tag team championships. And if you're going to have this crossover stuff, then have the Usos and Rowan and Bryan continue this feud.
Yeah.
And then make a point. If you're going to keep it on Bryan and Rowan, have them really earn it. By beating them 2 out of 3, it would be right.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I actually agree with you. I mean, if you look at the women's division, they only have one tag team.
They have it on Terrible Champions, but they only have one belt. Yeah,
exactly. So, and right now, I mean, if you look at the roster, like the tag team rosters in WWE. Sheamus is hurt, doesn't know when he's going to come back. We're not sure if he's going to come back. So that means the bar is like kind of like up in the air. And if you see, Cesaro has been doing like some solo matches, which
I love
Cesaro. Also, New Day, Big E got hurt.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, he kind of came back, but not really. So that's still up in the air. So that's, that's two of your best tag team, tag teams in your organization that are out for a little bit. So that means they don't know how to use the revival, plus a couple of more tag teams. I don't know why they do have like a solid tag team division. They do. They're there. They just don't, they think that they rather... just put two guys together like they did with Ricochet and Alex, and just see what happens, just to see if they pop up ratings. But you have a great, you do have a solid foundation. They just don't use them.
Yeah, they're not, again, I think they're not deploying this talent properly, which is causing the tag team division to suffer when it should be a strong thing.
You have great tag teams in WWE, and anybody that says I'm sorry, but they don't know what they're talking about.
It's poorly written. That's the problem. It's poorly.
Yeah, exactly.
And poorly deployed, because when you see this match and the spots, and what I loved about this match was that it was a good mix of, tactical wrestling maneuvers like groundwork, mm-hmm. and then obviously the high flying,
yeah,
and all that kind of fun stuff. So.
Yeah.
And again, I think even if you don't want to count the first two matches that have happened, mm-hmm. have a scenario where they do another best out of three and it counts. Yeah. Like, okay, like have them keep feud. I think this feud that they got going, that the Usos got going with the Revival, it's ridiculous. It's silly.
It's, like, they like, write it for like for the jokes.
Yeah.
And I know the Revival is so much better than that.
I think the Revival's on the way out once their contract expires.
I think you're right. I mean,
AEW, get ready for another tag team because they're coming.
They are definitely coming. I mean, I wouldn't resign.
I could see half the.
I thought they did still resign.
There was talk, but I think they're waiting out their contract. Okay, the last I heard is that they're waiting. If they could have, they would have sat out their contract, but they can't.
So, yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. And yeah, no, I know. You know, I don't know.
So what my hope is that once they get over this silliness, maybe they'll smarter heads will prevail.
And it's not like, I mean, if you want to, let's say you want to blame Vince McMahon for what's going on, which you can.
I partly do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can. I mean, the weird thing is, it's not like he hasn't, man, this guy came out of nowhere to make, not out of nowhere, but he did a risk. He was a man who took risks in the 80s.
Nobody's discounting his intelligence.
Yeah,
And his business acumen back then.
Yeah.
My issue now is, I mean,
is he out of touch? I think he's a little out of touch.
I think he is, because when you look at NXT.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is run by Triple H.
Yeah.
Like, NXT is the best WWE's got to offer, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As an overall product, in terms of, especially in terms of the in-ring, mm-hmm. I think NXT is where it's at.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
So to me, maybe it's time for Vince to focus on exclusively XFL.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And leave WWE to Triple H entirely.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wants to come in and do that Mr. McMahon shtick every once in a blue moon, so be it, because I get a kick out of every time he does that ridiculous walk.
I know, me too.
Like he's got a cucumber up his rear end, but yeah, in terms of day-to-day creative, get him out of the building. Yeah, oh, that's my theory. But in terms of the match itself, before we rate it and move on, do you have any spots that you remember or you can call back to, or do you just want to give it a rating?
It's just that, I'm a fan of the big man, the big man wrestler, like Rowan. I love the spots. I always love the spots. It's a thing in me, I always love the spots when, like, the Usos, start throwing, themselves out of the ring, and you see Rowan just catching them. That always, to me, is like is one of the coolest moves ever.
Yeah, it's a display of his just sheer, strength, right?
Yeah, exactly. And credit to the Usos, because they know how to sell it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. It doesn't work if the other person doesn't go along with the theatrics of it all.
Exactly.
So for sure. I think, as much as I detest the comedy, I think that helps them. It's part of their it helps their theatricality in the ring.
Oh yeah, absolutely. 100%.
So despite me not liking what they're doing with the other guys, in this case, I think it works.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I don't have, like I said, I don't have problem with comedy in wrestling.
No.
Used wisely.
And just when it's in excess.
Exactly. Yeah. Not in excess.
Because I find SmackDown is the worst for that. I think it's like, if I had to compare it, I'm going to use a comic book, a reference.
Yeah.
So Raw would be like, if I had to compare the two shows in terms of level of comedy or not,
mm-hmm.
Raw would be like Batman 89.
Okay.
And SmackDown is right now it's Batman Forever, but it's teetering towards Batman and Robin.
Oh,
it's getting too ridiculous. But I agree with you with the spot where Rowan caught them. That was incredible. And so that's going to be my spot of that match. So Dave Meltzer has it at a 3.25 stars. Where would you put this match?
3.25 out of 5?
Yes.
I'll go a little bit higher. I'll go 3.5.
Yeah, I think it was a 3.5, especially starting, quote unquote, starting off the show.
Yeah.
It's a solid start.
And it was solid. Yeah, absolutely. It was a very solid start. Absolutely.
And notice they put four guys that they trust that could work and hype up the crowd, which is nice.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what you need. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So then we got, we have here Tony Nese and Daivari for the Cruiserweight Championship.
Okay. So the match. Okay. Let me get my thoughts on that one. I don't know why. I don't understand why. They put better matches in 205 Live than they do in their pay-per-views. And I'm talking about Cruiserweights in general. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Yeah. It's another mismanaged division. Yeah,
it is. I mean, and I understand why. I mean, if you see them in 205 Live, man, they can put excellent matches. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, when they got into the pay-per-view, I mean, I'm glad that because I think that match was not was on the main card. Well, yeah, it was on the pay-per-view per se. It wasn't on the show.
Yeah.
I think it was like a first time or second time. So that's good.
Yeah.
I love and both wrestlers I love to death. I love when he goes with the app count. That's fantastic.
Yeah, they're great workers for sure.
Yeah, but for some reason, when it comes down to a pay-per-view, I don't know. I don't know if it's. I don't know what happens, but they seem to tone it down for some. That's my feel. Like I get that feeling that they actually toned down their wrestling styles from the two when you know.
I don't understand why that is. You're right. It does. But
it's weird. It's just. I just find it so weird. And it was a good match. I'm not gonna say it was a bad match. It's just that. I've seen them do so much better that you're like that you get disappointed that what happened, what's going on.
I agree with you. It's mind boggling, but I really like Tony Nese. He's got does he give off a little bit of, I don't know if it's his look or what it is, but does he give off a little bit of a Macho Man vibe to you?
He gives for me, he actually gives a combination. I like the combination that he has, but he does give that Macho Man vibe. But you can also give it with that Rick Rude, you know, with my body. Another thing. Yeah, he does give out that vibe. Like, I think he's very charismatic. I'm actually happy that he's the champion right now, you know. But again, I don't know. I mean, I'm afraid that they're telling them.
The Cruiserweights to me should be on the main show.
Yeah.
That's beyond the network. Like it should be on Raw or SmackDown or whatever. Because like I said, I think there should be. Again, this goes back to my issue. Again, and this was a decent match. I'm not gonna say it wasn't.
It wasn't, and I
like the villain role that Daivari is playing. That he's all in it about the money.
Yeah.
And he's got the chains. He's kind of like if I had to compare him, he's kind of like early Razor Ramon mixed in
he has that charisma and machismo,
Razor meets
Razor
Rick
Ramon. Absolutely.
Razor with Rick Rude, with Rick Flair, a little bit of Rick Flair with the chain. So and the fancy cars and all that. That's the styling and profile. That never gets old. I think there should be about, five or six championships that get precedent on the show. And it should be on the main roster. I think it's first of all, I'm going to go into a rant.
Go for it.
To me, this WWE and Universal thing, it doesn't fly for me. Should be the WWE Championship. That should be the main belt that traverses both brands. Okay? Mm-hmm. It should be the Intercontinental Championship, the Male Tag Team Championship, one of them. The Female Championship, again, should be one, and the championship traverses both shows. Mm-hmm. Okay? Then you have the Female Tag Team Championship, which is thankfully only one. And then it should be the Cruiserweight. So that's six titles. Those should be the prominent ones.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that at all. I mean, the U.S. title
I don't mind the U.S. title, but it seems like an arm trophy for Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
There's no There's no prestige. There's no. It's just. It's there.
Yeah. I know. It's like. I totally agree with you. That's why usually, you know, with the Intercontinental Champion, when, for example, The Miz had it, you actually saw the prestige in it. He was like happy, ecstatic to have that title, to defend that title. And also I can say it's, but I don't know if it's been underutilized now, because right now it's Finn Balor's the champion. And he's,
which I don't mind. I like Finn Balor. He's great.
Yeah. But he just, and I love Finn Balor, but to be honest, right now, he doesn't carry the title as, for example, Miz did.
Nobody defends the goddamn thing anymore.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. You know?
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Put these titles up for defense. And I get that you don't wanna give away a pay-per-view match on TV.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna put them in a program with a particular person, another wrestler, let's say it's Bobby Lashley, like it was,
mm-hmm.
and they were going back and forth on pay-per-view, have it extend to the Raw. Like, if they're going to be in a feud for about 3 to 6 months, have it extend to the main show. Have one, you know, not every time, but once in a while, drop it on TV and then win it back on a pay-per-view. Build the feud.
I remember, like, one of the best things about the Attitude Era with the championship was that, well, Stone Cold has it. Now The Rock has it. Now Stone Cold has it. I mean, it was like this back and forth.
Yeah.
You know,
That makes great story. And the feuds went on for a month to year, a month to a year. Somewhere.
Exactly.
It's great.
Yeah, I know.
I think they need to, as much as, look, I get why 205 is more of the cruiserweight thing, right? You got to sell it somehow.
Yeah.
But I still think, hey, maybe it's a thing where you sacrifice one of your shows and use these guys on the main roster. Like, Raw's a 3-hour show. Make it a better show.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
With more if than not, 25 my, minutes my, of wrestling. You know,
my opinion with the 205, to be honest, either get those guys, a couple of them, go to NXT.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, for example, Gulak actually had a match in NXT. And I'm trying to think if there was... I know there was another one. I'm just like... I think Buddy Murphy also had like a one or two matches.
Yeah, Buddy Murphy, I'm not a fan because he used to date Alexa Bliss. So just for that reason, he's on my no-go list.
Okay.
Lucky SOB, but anyway, that's another... Yeah.
But the other thing, if you're going to keep it, don't make it a live show. Make it like an NXT, make it taped.
Yeah.
You know, draw out the stories. It's not working. You can see the crowds are dead. They usually go after SmackDown, and the crowds are dead usually. And these guys put great matches. Don't get me wrong, they put excellent matches, but the crowd's just not into it. So either take it out of the live show or get some talents to the NXT and put maybe one or two in main roster. You know,
like I said, what I would do if I was them, either put the cruiserweights on either Raw or SmackDown, or scrap 205 completely as a show.
And
merge them with NXT.
Yeah. I think it's the best thing right now. Yeah.
But if you're gonna have, you know, 2 to 3 hour wrestling shows, me as a fan of wrestling, and we just finished saying it's a physical storytelling medium.
Exactly.
Then there should be a minimum in a 2 to 3 hour show, 45 minutes of legitimate wrestling.
Oh yeah, absolutely, 100%. Oh, you need the wrestling.
But I saw the numbers, and Raw and SmackDown fluctuate between a grand total when you combine it, 27 to 35 minutes. Are you kidding me?
That's ridiculous. That's
ridiculous.
That's not acceptable.
No.
A three hour show.
It's unacceptable, my friend.
It's unacceptable. Yeah, it is. It's totally.
And with that rant out of the way, what would you actually rate the Cruiserweight Championship match?
Tony Nese retained. I would rate it. It was a.
Meltzer's got it as a 3.
I'd go 2.75.
I'd go 2.5.
Yeah.
All I can say is Tony Nese had an amazing Mania match.
Yeah.
And that was much better than this.
I know.
So I can't give it any higher than.
Yeah, exactly.
Than that for me.
Yeah.
So then we get the woman in the women's Money in the Bank ladder match.
Okay.
Okay.
Love that. Okay. My first reaction. I love that match.
Yeah,
they enjoyed the hell out of that match. They were beating the hell out of each other.
My reaction is, why was this so early in the show? It should have been later in the show.
I know.
That's just me.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But aside from that, you know, let's run down the competitors.
Mm.
We've got, unfortunately, I don't know if you know, have you listened to any of the podcasts, Tavo, where I mentioned my multiverse Earthwives?
No, I haven't yet. I'm gonna check that out.
Well, one of them, which is Alexa Bliss, unfortunately, I believe is injured again.
Yeah.
I hope she's okay and is able to make a comeback. Oh, yeah. But she wasn't able to participate in this match, obviously, given the dangers of this type of match. Yeah. So you had Nikki Cross taking her place, and she was in the match against Naomi, against Natalya, against Dana Brooks, against Bayley, against Mandy Rose, Ember Moon, and Carmella. Now, just looking at that roster of ladies, mm-hmm. no offense to any of them, because they all performed really, really well. To me, there's only two potential legitimate contenders that I thought, okay, could actually be in line to win this match.
Yes.
Those two for me were either Natalya or Bayley.
Natalia's a concert professional. She's a pro. Yeah, I getcha.
And I will say this, as a Canadian, as a fan of Bret Hart, it really pisses me off how misused Natalia is. When's the last time she had a title ring or a title shot?
Was it last year? Yeah, I think she had it last year for a little bit.
I get you want to push, the younger stars, but you got to put the title on. Like, it can't just be, and I get it, they've done a great job with Becky Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
They've done I love the legacy angle they're going on with Charlotte, but mm-hmm. I'd like to see Natalya more in the mix for that as well.
I wouldn't mind that at all, especially since Natalya kind of came around the same time or a little bit earlier than the Charlotte. I don't think Natalia's that. How old is Natalya? She's like 35, 36.
I don't know, I haven't looked it up, but she's got to be around that range,
And that's still, she has at least
she could have a good 5 to 10 years left, depending
on injuries and all that. And with her wrestling style, she could definitely have a couple of good years, great years. And she's definitely underutilized.
So I'd like to see her. Even Ember Moon looks like, just from what I've seen, I liked what I saw from her in that match.
I'll say this. Ember Moon is, out of all those.
She's got potential, I think.
Yes, that's. She's the one with the upstart. Give her 6 months of solid, matches, try to build her up. Because in NXT she was very good in NXT.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she was there at the same time that Asuka was there. So and once Asuka left, she just was there a little bit longer. She wasn't able to actually establish herself, really establish herself in NXT because Asuka left. She became the champion, and who came out and who was in there? Shayna Baszler. Jeez. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're in a tough spot.
Yeah, exactly. She was and she's very athletic. You can
But she's got a good how can I phrase this? She seems more of a powerhouse in terms of than let's say the high flyer. She's more of that powerhouse kind of.
I know, but performer. Still though, that spot where she hit her finisher in the using the ladder.
Yes. Yeah. That was crazy.
That was a good spot. That was holy. Shit, yeah. She did that. But it was like I said, it was a solid match all around, man. It was a great match. I love that. There, the ladies really and I agree with you. This should have been closer to the main event.
Like I said, these girls are like right now, aside from the few males that I think we mentioned, maybe we mentioned them off air or on the show, I can't remember whether we were recording or not, but these women by and large, are definitely carrying the product for WWE.
Oh yeah, 100%.
There's no doubt about it.
And that's without Sasha because, you know, of what happened.
Yeah, I mean, if Sasha was still there and Alexa was active, that division would even more phenomenal. You know, and I think what I loved about it was just the physicality of it all. Like, when they were like drop kicking, like they were had the ladders in between. You know, they had one performer in between the ladders, and you know they're drop kicking into her and like almost crushing her with the ladder. I mean, that crap is crazy. Like even the men are crazy for doing it, and the women are just going full tilt. I love that they're.
I know, it was awesome. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
That Carmella spot. What did you think about it?
Yeah, the one. Okay.
The Carmella spot. You know, when she like got injured, like you know, like.
Yeah, when the refs took her out.
Yeah, it was such a weird, like, I found it such a weird spot because it looked legit. It looked legit, and she sold it. And the way she was making, what's her name? Oh, man, I forgot her name. The blonde one.
Hold on. Dana Brooke?
No, not Dana.
The other one. Mandy Rose.
Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose was trying to attack her, and you see Carmella just get off me.
Yeah, she made it look good.
Did she really get hurt?
I'm not sure, but it was
a weird spot.
It definitely looked legitimate.
Yeah, I know. She like, I mean, I'll say this: of all the wrestlers, you know that I say that have in the past year, if you want to give like a most improved wrestler, I'll give it that to Carmella hands down.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
You know. I mean, she has worked her ass off.
She could be in line for a title shot too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love the spot where Mandy Rose's partner came in when she was like unconscious and carried her up the ladder. I was gonna try.
Oh my
and
give god!
Like who? What's her partner's name again?
It's Mandy Rose and.
And I'm blanking.
And I like her, and my daughter loves her too. Oh my god. Yeah, she carried it on her back and just like.
I mean, that's insane. Like
that was insane.
The strength you need to do that.
Oh, I know.
I got to give them props for that.
You know that ending was fantastic, by the way.
And when they get knocked off the ladder, I'm like, these girls are in the best way possible. I mean this, but they're nuts.
They are. Oh my god, they are. And the best, you know, because again, with the story, you know, telling the story inside the ring, that end spot, you see Bailey going on top and you see that face in her, you know, that like, you ain't getting this title away from me. You're going, you know, you're going down. And then you see Mandy Rose and I can't believe I forgot her name. Oh, you know, looking at her like, oh shit, we're in trouble.
Yeah,
that was fantastic.
Yeah, oh, they sold it for sure. And I think, look, the fact that they gave it to Bailey, I'm okay with because she had such a good thing going with Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that had to come to an end.
Yeah,
but I think she deserves a bit of a push.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And her you know the nice girl, you know, the hugger demeanor.
Yeah,
allows for a lot of feuds to come up in the near future because even if you're a babyface or a heel, even the babyfaces are a little bit more hard edged than she is.
Yeah,
so I think it'll make for good.
It will absolutely
conflict. So I think that's a good move to have her win the match and not have her stardom that was on the rise
absolutely
be stifled because of what's going on with Sasha.
Yeah, I know.
So
I mean, I'm actually glad. I'm very happy about like you know she getting like the belt.
Yeah.
You know that made me happy. And I know she can carry it. You know.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Her work rate is where she's really good in the ring.
Yeah.
So what would you? I mean, if you had to rate this match, Meltzer's got it at a 3.25. Meltzer's got it.
Really?
Yeah.
Boo! I'm going on a 4 on that one. I love the match.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
The bumps were great.
Yeah.
The storytelling, like the one we mentioned.
Yeah.
The moment we mentioned, so I was like, I'm going to go 4 out of 5 as well.
Yeah, I mean, 3, 2.9, I don't see that. Meltzer, you suck.
Yeah, no, he's speaking of out of touch. No, I'm kidding. Not that he's ever going to come on this podcast. Who cares?
Yeah.
But yeah, the next matchup was Roman Reigns versus Elias. Now, I gotta be honest with you. This Elias character, I cannot stand him. And not in a good way that he's a great heel. I just think it's such a lame, moronic character. It's so ridiculous.
You know, I can't disagree. I mean, at the beginning, it was fine. But, you know, you got to move.
If you're playing for laughs, it's okay.
Yeah. But
is the guy anything beyond laughs? That's my question.
I know. I understand. And the thing is, you can't really tell, like, much about his in-ring ability because he's not utilized that much.
Yeah, he just comes out, sings, gets interrupted, usually gets his ass kicked.
Yeah.
And c'est la vie.
Guitar, which, you know, Honky Tonk Man, thank you. Yeah. So, whatever.
Oh, that part of it I love because it reminds me of Honky Tonk Man.
Yeah, Honky Tonk, and if you want, Jeff Jarrett, too.
You know?
But I don't know.
We can start singing the song and turn off all the listeners, but we won't do that. But there it is.
Exactly. Yeah. And how long did this match last? Like what? 2 minutes? 3 minutes?
Yeah, because didn't he hit him with the guitar at first, right?
Yeah,
It was smash him with the guitar, come out and start playing a set, get interrupted, get hit with a Superman punch, a spear, end of match. You know, look, I know Roman Reigns is better than just that.
I know.
I can't say the same about Elias because I just have no idea. But this match, honest, if I'm being 100% brutally honest, you could have taken this match off the card and I wouldn't have even cared.
I know. Yeah, I understand. Oh, 100%.
So with that, Meltzer did not even rate it.
I can't rate it. It wasn't a match. I agree with that one. It wasn't a match.
I'm going to go ahead and rate it, but I'm going to give it a zero. Like, I'm actually going to ascribe a number to it. And the number is zero.
All right, fine. Zero. Because it wasn't a match.
Yeah, it wasn't a match. It was like a...
I'm going to be honest. I feel so bad for Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Because the guy's talented, but he gets so much shit. And I'm going to have to blame Vince. Because he wanted to give him a push when the push wasn't, there yet.
But in all fairness, you're right. But in all fairness, I think now that they're pushing him and the fans are behind him, they're at least putting him with people where the fans can get behind him now.
Oh yeah. I've really enjoyed his bits with The Miz.
Yeah.
You know, which brings another issue completely. You know, all right, I'm going to rant for 2 seconds.
Yeah, go ahead.
So you got, like, you go to Raw. So Roman Reigns appears in Raw with, like, that wild card, whatever you want to call it, rule. And he does, like, a bit with The Miz. Perfect. And it was great. It was absolutely good. What happens the next day? They do the same exact
thing. Yeah.
I mean,
it's wash, rinse, repeat.
I'm like, if you're going to have the wild card thing, okay, but why are you repeating the same thing? You know, it's so frustrating. All right, that's my rant.
No, I can't argue. I can't argue with that in the least. Yeah, I mean, I can't even add to that anything that you already didn't.
It's just, yeah.
Equivalent.
Zero out of five. Yeah. Next match.
Okay, here's the next match. And I'm afraid it's not much better because I was so disappointed. And not because of I think the performers are great, but it's Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio. It was a botch, yeah. But I don't understand why you've got two great workers and their matches are the equivalent of what? The first one was 2.5 minutes at Mania. And this one was what, maybe 5, 7 at most?
I kind of heard, I don't know if it's true or not, I kind of heard on that first match, you know, the one they had, the one that just lasted like 30 seconds, I think they said that Rey Mysterio was hurt. So, you know, but instead of canceling...
The first one.
But yeah, you're right. They give him no time whatsoever. Their stories are like, you know, longer than their matches. You know, when they when they do the bits, and it's too bad because I'm kind of liking the angle with, like, you know, getting the sun involved.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's actually interesting. But
yeah, if you actually put a match behind that, you're right. It is interesting.
Yes. Thank you. You have to have like the, and here's the thing. All right. So you're getting the sun involved. Are you going to do something with him during a match? Is it going to be a swerve? Is it going to hit his dad? Is it going to be like, something, you know?
What I've heard is that basically Rey Mysterio wants to start making his way out.
Yeah.
And he wants to pass the mask onto his son.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
That's the angle they want to go with. So
yeah, okay.
Which would be a fascinating angle, but you have to.
It is.
In my opinion, you have to have a match between, like, a proper, maybe 10 to 15, hell, give them 20 and 30 minutes because they're both great workers.
Yeah.
Match between these two guys.
Yeah.
And have Samoa Joe beat the crap out of his son, for lack of a better, out of Rey Mysterio's son. And then, you know, have this, because I've heard that he's training at the Performance Center, but of course, we haven't seen that.
Yeah.
So we're getting into the storyline where then after the beatdown, Rey starts training his son.
I wouldn't even mind. If you're bringing the mascara angle to it, which is, you know, for a Mexican wrestler, that's their livelihood,
right,
pretty much. I wouldn't even mind if they actually did a swerve where the son goes, you know, heel to get the mask. That actually could even work.
Right.
Your idea is great. I think this also could work, but just make the story happen and
imagine if you said to Rey, okay, look, if you go with this storyline with us for the next year, where the payoff is at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
At the next WrestleMania.
Okay.
You can certainly start, like, if because remember, on the next Raw, as of this recording, the next Raw is going to have Rey relinquishing the title because he's injured, right?
Okay.
The U.S. title. So now, if you have a beatdown of either Rey and or his son at the hands of Samoa Joe, you can now start building the idea of Rey starting to train his son, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's a good angle. It's a great angle.
And like I said, over the next 6 months to a year, you keep building. And whatever you're going to do, whether you're going to have him swerve or whether you're going to have him just take the mask and take on Samoa Joe in place of his injured father, you can do that. But you got to start to build up now.
Yeah. Especially for, like, it'll give you till WrestleMania. I mean, it's a little bit less than a year, but it's good months. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And remember the good old days when storylines used to build up for a year? Remember the Mega Powers? I keep going back to it. This was my favorite.
I remember.
And the big turn? That was great. Yeah.
I mean, that was awesome.
That was a year-long buildup. Let's get back to that.
Yeah, too bad they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, so that's my recommendation.
But,
you know, the match, you talk about the botch.
Yeah.
The botch was the pin, right?
The botch was the pin, and they actually mentioned it in the air. I was completely shocked because since WrestleMania, let's be honest, the Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair match, that was a botch. That was a big botch.
Yeah, her shoulders went down, but
were
they going to take it away from Becky? I don't think so.
No, exactly. And
not after all that build-up.
That Becky was supposed to disarm her on Charlotte. Yeah, I heard that was kind of the finish.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden we get a botch here too. I'm like, is this going to be part of a story? What is happening? I don't, you know.
Yeah.
She
could come back.
In contrast with AEW.
Yeah.
You know, you saw AEW, right?
Yes.
Oh, there was like a one small botch in one of the with the belt.
The women's matches. Yeah.
Yeah. The referee, that was impressive what the referee did. No. It was a two count.
She
kept firm. It was a two count and the match kept going. You see, you can work with it. You can make it. She made it part of the story. I don't know.
And they made it like a legitimate.
Yeah.
We know the matches are predetermined. But in the moment, they made it seem legitimate.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So I don't I mean, and you, I love, trust me, I love WWE, but I mean, sometimes you're like, what are you doing? You know? All right.
Yeah. I heard something that they said that, because remember how Samoa Joe started bleeding?
Yeah. Remember that, yeah.
Apparently, they thought he broke his nose.
Oh,
so okay. So the ref kind of told them quietly that, you know, wrap it up quicker than they had determined.
Okay.
So that could have been part of the reason why his shoulders were up, but the ref didn't give a crap, right?
Yeah,
so
I got it.
Could be. But yeah. Still, they could have disguised it a little better than they did.
Yeah.
And when the commentators point...
And here's my other point. Okay, he botched.
Yeah.
You got the commentators saying, oh, he botched it. And then you don't bring it up again in another, like, you know, I mean, it could be a good storyline, you know, for like on the next Raw. Was it mentioned again? No.
Well, they did say, well, Samoa Joe did mention it. That it showed.
Oh,
he did? Yeah, he did.
Okay.
He did. And so...
I've been sleeping through Raw a little bit here and there.
Huh? Yeah, which is understandable. But he said...
Oh, he didn't mention it. Okay.
He goes,
okay.
My shoulders went down. That title should be rightfully mine. And Rey Mysterio should do the honorable thing and relinquish.
Okay.
But they're playing it as the only reason he's relinquishing is because he's injured.
So they're not technically... I mean, so basically it was mentioned by
Samoa Joe,
but it's still not part of the story per se?
No. Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't.
But so what would you rate this match, if I can
ask? Oh, man, I really don't want to go low because
I like both of these guys, but
I know.
For reference, Meltzer gave it a 1-star.
All right, because I love the wrestlers, I'll give it 2.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Your love of the wrestlers, that's it.
Yeah, just because I know they're talented. Yeah. And they both deserve better than this.
Yeah.
I'll give them a 2 as well.
Yeah, 5. Exactly. But I can't go higher than that.
All right. So the next one is The Miz versus Shane McMahon in a steel cage match.
Great match. Wonky finish. Weird finish. I never understand those type of finishes. But, you know, that's just me. It was surprising how Miz, especially Miz, the storytelling he was putting on the ring, that he wanted to beat the hell out of Shane because of what has happened before. You can see it in the storytelling. I mean, I'm telling you, man, Miz is like for the past, I'd say, year and a half, Miz is bringing the goods, man. He's like, he's legit.
For sure.
You know, he should be in the title picture, in my opinion. Like that should happen.
For one of the world titles, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I agree 100%. I don't know why he's not.
And his turn as a face, but not completely a face, it works for him. He's making it work, and he's working his ass off in that ring. And you know, surprisingly, he has put 2 great matches with Shane McMahon. Wonky finish, you know, but they're still great matches, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, I love the highlight of this, I mean, Miz is a great worker, and
and
Shane, I mean, he's giving it his all, and Shane is, you know, he's like, he's not a quote-unquote wrestler per se, but he's able to do some good things in there.
Yeah.
But to me, this is an example of good storytelling from WWE.
Yes, it is.
It's being built over time.
Yeah. It's been building since that last Arabian show, which I'm not gonna get into because, you know, I have issues with the Saudi Arabia shows in general. But yeah, that's been building since that moment, and that's been a couple of months. Yeah, it has. Yeah, it has been a couple of months. It's good storytelling. Yeah,
and you know what it is? To me, I'm really buying the family aspect in terms of, you know, the Miz is fighting for his father's honor, if you will.
Yes, yes.
And in a weird, twisted way, so is Shane, because, you know,
No, you're right.
With Shane, it's more with Roman, but you know, yeah. It's sort of with but still the dynamic is there.
Yeah,
but
anyway, so
and it just like that's something that anybody can relate to. So when you put those parameters on it,
mm-hmm.
and look, I'll never get sick of seeing somebody, you know, lay into Shane McMahon.
I know.
And I gotta give him credit. He plays a great, you know, the bastard boss.
Oh yeah, boss. I know.
He does it great.
He makes
you hate him.
Yeah, so. Exactly. You know, no. He works great. You know, his promos are good. Like his promos are very good. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of like, I'll say this though. His voice is a little bit funny. He sounds like he has a cold all the time.
Yeah, you know? He does.
Maybe
he's got sinus problems. Who knows?
Yeah, I know. Maybe he does. But like his work promo wise and with everything, you know, he does great work. I'm not. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that one. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's so like I said, because he plays it so well,
mm-hmm.
that role. It's always a pleasure seeing, you know, Miz beat the crap out of him or anybody.
Yeah, I know. And don't get me wrong. I do understand the finish as a part of the story. I get it. You know, Miz just wants to, like, he doesn't want.
He doesn't care about winning or losing.
He doesn't want, you know, he just wants to beat the hell out of him while Shane just is trying to, like, leave the ring.
Yeah,
it's just that finish per se. I was like, really? They're going with like the shirt thing? I'm like,
no, they gotta pay it off. They can't just.
I know.
There has to be another match, otherwise
I know,
that finish.
I know. They're,
otherwise they're, that finish is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. It was just I laughed. I mean, I was like, man, and I was like, man, you're putting a stellar match in here to have that specific finish. I mean, and I think you could have done it like other ways too, you know, like him escaping, you know, even through the like the gate, you could have find a way to like, you know, he get out that way. But I don't know, I just found it like funky, you know.
Yeah, but like the physicality of the shots were like they felt real, like they felt like they hurt.
Yeah.
And so, that I buy, and the spots that these guys. Yeah. Are able to pull off are just incredible. Like the bumps that they take, especially that it's Shane in there, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't have to do this. He just sit in the back and you know be the promoter, right? So
yeah, exactly.
I gotta give him extra credit for that.
Yeah.
What would you rate this match though?
It was a great match. I do have to say it was a great match.
Meltzer gave it a 2.25.
Oh my God, Meltzer, you suck.
I think their Mania one was a little better.
Oh, it was. I'll give you that.
It's Mania. It should be better.
Yeah. All right. So I can't give it like it's just the finish is still bothering me with this match. I'll go 3.2. Just because the finish was wonky.
Yeah, I'll give it a 3.35.
All right, that's good too, you know. It's just and it's purely, and I'm sorry, I have to say it, it's purely on the finish.
You're right. The finish seemed almost like an accident.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he accidentally slipped, as opposed.
Yeah,
to,
exactly. It's like what?
It being planned. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I agree. So yeah, there's that match.
Yeah.
Then we have the first of the two women's title matches: Becky Lynch versus Lacey Evans. For the Raw Women's Championship. Now, I gotta admit, they've been built. We've talked about building the story and such.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that before tonight on this episode. Mm-hmm. And so, I think they're doing a good job with Lacey Evans and her build-up.
Yes. I really agree. Yeah.
And I thought that she was just gonna get trampled on, and it was gonna literally be like a 2-minute match.
Mm-hmm.
But she got a couple of good shots in.
Yeah,
it was a moment in the match where she took control, and so I like the fact that even though they kept Becky Lynch you know, strong and put her over,
mm-hmm.
they definitely kept building Lacey Evans' credibility. Yeah. And kept her strong coming out of this.
Yeah, yeah. I think you have to talk about, like, if you want to go into the storytelling, I think you have to mention both matches at the same time.
Yeah.
And okay. You're right. They gave Lacey Evans a great build-up for this match. And I was happy that it wasn't like a squash match, because it actually makes sense that they immediately go to the next match. Because Becky won, but she's not technically 100%.
She's tired. Oh, yeah. She's,
you know, which helps the story, because even not 100%, she was actually beating Charlotte, and Lacey Evans actually interrupted that match to make so that Charlotte could win. Yeah. So those three actually made a very good, a very great storytelling in that situation, even though I sometimes think, I don't know why, but I sometimes think that Becky is a little bit over the top for me, but that's my subjective opinion, you know.
What do you mean by that, though? Like, explain what you mean.
She's trying to do the Stone Cold, like, you know, be the Stone Cold, and I understand that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, just like, I never thought, you know, when I see Stone Cold, you know, I never thought that he was over the top or anything. And like, sometimes, I don't know if it's the writing, I don't know if it's the writing they're giving her, but sometimes I feel that, I don't know, it's something that's off for me.
Well, and here's the thing, here's how I'll explain it. I think I know what you're trying to say. It feels like it's like her badass attitude is forced.
Yes. It doesn't feel, you know, when you saw Stone Cold with his badass attitude, it was natural. It was organic. It fit. I mean, I don't mind Becky. Becky is badass. You know,
from a wrestling point of view, she can work it. She can hack it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But for some reason, like, her writing, I'm gonna blame the writing. I think I'm just gonna blame the writing and. It's not working for me right now. I mean, it doesn't seem organic enough.
Agreed. You know? Agreed. But like, I remember the audiences really started taking to Stone Cold when he stunned McMahon.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Becky hasn't done anything of that nature yet.
She had that moment with the broken nose. That was awesome.
Okay, yeah, there was that, yeah.
That was awesome.
And the thing with the cop cars before Mania. So there is some of it. It just seems like they're overemphasizing, hey, she's a badass. Like, they have to keep telling us that.
I know, she is a badass. I mean, just, like, look at that, you know, moment where, like, the busted nose. She's a badass.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to hear, oh, I'm the man. I don't know.
Yeah, the whole man angle, I don't.
I don't know. I mean,
isn't that sending mixed messages?
I don't know if it's like a mixed message. It's just that,
because her saying the man as she's trying to lead the women's, you know what I mean?
It is weird. It's weird. It's just that I think it would have been better for her if she was like, I'm a badass. That's it. You're not the man. You're a badass, period. Yeah. You know, you kick ass. You're a badass. You don't have to be the man or the woman or whatever. Yeah. Plus when you say the man, I mean, I automatically think of two people. One, Stone Cold, the other, Ric Flair. You know.
If anybody's gonna say that, it should be Charlotte, and she should say the woman to kind of,
exactly. Know, to yeah. Kind of, I know.
Legacy of her father, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and then they went with like the Becky Two Belt thing.
Oh, again. That was ridiculous. Oh,
thank you. I'm not the only one that thinks that. Okay.
Every time she says that or the crowd says, I'm like, shut up.
I know. Thank you. I was just like, what? What? No. I was you know what? In the end, I was actually happy that she lost one of the belts.
I said to myself, she can't come out of here with both belts. She can't.
Exactly.
Like, either unify the two titles or take it off her. Exactly. Take one of them off.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think it was smart to keep her on with the Raw belt, because when you have, and you know that Charlotte versus Bayley is going to be a feud.
Oh, so yeah, that's going to be good.
When you have Charlotte, who's getting for that, you know, they're going with the record of how many times has she held the belt.
Yeah.
That's why I want her not to be the SmackDown champ, because I think when you have Charlotte and Bayley there, mm-hmm. I think that could be a feud that goes on. Like I said, could go on for months and months, right?
You can make it. You can take it all the way to WrestleMania if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd like to see a scenario where there are a bunch of shorter reigns, mm-hmm. But then you do one extended long reign stint.
Yeah.
With Charlotte.
And make Becky chase the belt. Yeah.
Like I want her to reach her father's number just for.
Oh, that would be awesome. that would be awesome.
If you really want to make a statement, she'll win one more than her father.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
That should be how they play it. Now, what I mean by that is you could have them, let's say her and Bayley or whoever you mm-hmm. want to build as a contender on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. You have to go back. It could be short reigns. You know, you could one wins the belt at one pay-per-view and then loses it at the next.
Yeah.
Until she reaches that number. And her final reign, the one where she tops her father, should be a longer reign before she ultimately loses it and passes the torch. That's how I'd book it. But
that's a good idea. Actually,
I'm not in WWE.
Which reminds me, you remember when Sasha came up?
Yeah.
Like, first time. They went her and Charlotte. They went at it and they switched belts a couple of times.
That's how it should be, though. You know? Like, right?
And that was great storytelling with those two. Oh my god, yeah.
If you have a feud with if you're trying to build a program,
yeah,
that back and forth adds unpredictability of who's going to win it now.
It makes you want to see the next show, which is what you want. You want your viewer to, I got to see next week just to see if the title is going to change again, you know?
The problem with me is, mm-hmm. I think this is a line-wide problem with WWE, is mm-hmm. there's no real threat of, okay, I think this guy's going to lose the belt tonight.
Yeah.
Like, there's too many times where it feels so status quo, he's going to come out on top. And that's because there's never any threat of losing the belt mm-hmm. on TV.
Yeah.
If there was at least a threat of it, things would be more interesting.
I know.
So you said you wanted to rate both matches in the same So let's
matches
do that.
Are great. Matches were great. Yeah. What did Meltzer give him? Let me get it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's see what the curmudgeon gave it. So the Becky Lynch and Lacey Evans match got a 2.
Oh my god.
And the Becky Lynch versus Charlotte got a 2.75.
Totally.
I would give mm-hmm. if I had to do Becky Lynch and Lacey Evans, I'd go 2.7. I thought it was solid.
I'll go 2.75. I thought it was solid too. Like, Lacey Evans put up a good show.
And Becky and Charlotte, I'll let you go first. What would you give that one?
Becky and Charlotte, I would give. I mean, they always put great, you know, matches. Yeah. You know, I say I'll go with like a.
It was shorter though because they had to do the Bayley.
Yeah,
cashing in. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll go with like I'll go with a 3.
Yeah, I'll go with a solid 3. I won't give it more than
because a solid 3.
It was short and it was basically Becky was kind of out of steam, so it was
Exactly.
It was more.
But like I said, but here's the thing: in the all-around storytelling of those both matches, it works. It's very solid.
Yeah.
You know,
whoever's writing the women's stuff.
Oh yeah.
Can we have them write the men's stuff too?
Please do. Please do.
I know what's going on there. And then, of course, Bayley comes in and cashes in.
Yeah.
A la Alexa Bliss last year. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll admit, I preferred Alexa Bliss doing it last year because, as I said,
it's your wife.
Alexa Bliss is one of my multiverse wives, so I got to go. You know, let's go with it. But again, I you can't deny that the crowd is behind Bayley.
She's
an amazing baby face, and that was one of the loudest pops of the night for the crowd, I think, when she came in.
It definitely was.
Cashed
it
in. So how would you rate that match, even though it wasn't really much of a...
The Bayley
Bayley and Charlotte.
just because of the reaction. Okay. I'll give it a three just because of the reaction it got.
Exactly. I'll give it a three because it was one of the matches that the crowd popped for. So
exactly.
Gotta give it credit for that.
exactly.
and like I loved seeing her celebrate with the crowd.
Yeah.
You know what would be ultimately fantastic?
What?
If she turned heel down the road.
Oh, do you imagine?
Like this nice girl act has got to end at some point.
Yeah, I know.
She's got to think, right?
She's starting with a mean streak. She's starting to get that mean streak.
So maybe it could devolve as she gets.
Yeah.
As you know, the power of being a champion gets to her head, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that would be good. Yeah.
Okay, it seems like you and I should book some of these shows.
I think we'd do a better job.
Probably. all right, so let's go to the next one, which was a WWE Championship match between Kofi Kingston and Kevin Owens. What do you think of this?
Great match, man. Kofi can put it, like, great match. Kevin Owens, forget about it, man. Great match. Great storytelling. You know, I wish it would have been built up a little bit more, to be honest, because I just love Kevin Owens a lot. You know, I love listening to him in the microphone. He can, like, that dude has charisma going out of his ass. You know, Kofi's solid. 11 years, he's solid. Great wrestler. Solid all around match. You know, I just can't, you know, say anything better.
The only thing I think that hampers Kofi, I get why they do it for the younger kids, but the whole pancake.
Because it's part of the New Day. Yeah,
it's overproduced.
Yeah, yeah.
I get you're catering to a demographic,
yeah.
But and this is not the Attitude Era anymore. But I'm not saying you have to go that far. I just think it's time to maybe lessen the amount of that dancing.
Yeah, he's a champ now. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean,
especially that belt, because to me, and I know it's not the same belt, but it technically is. That's the belt that if you really want to look at.
That's the prestigious belt. Come on.
If you want to look at the history, that's quote unquote
that's the belt.
The one that Hogan wore, Savage wore, Flair. Well, Flair had his own. Flair had the.
Yeah, but he wore it. Yeah, I know.
So to me,
that's the one that has history in it.
That one shouldn't have dancing around and pancakes. So they gotta live, and I get it. Good for the kids need something. I get it. I totally get it. But at some point, they gotta tone that down.
Yeah. Especially if they want to keep him as champion for a while, which they should. They should because.
Oh, and I'm scared. I'm scared they're going to take it off him.
I know. Me too.
It would be terrible PR because that's one of the things the fans are loving. That he's a champ. So if I was them, I'd keep it on him as long as you can.
Oh yeah.
But side note, just away from this for a second,
mm-hmm.
they're doing a cool thing with Ziggler. I like where this is going.
That story is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and Ziggler had like that mean streak in Ziggler, like, you know.
And you know why I think Vince is doing it now, right? With Ziggler?
I think he's retiring.
Oh, you do?
That's my opinion. I think he's going to retire. Yeah.
You don't think he's gonna go to
AEW?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Because how old is Ziggler? He's not that old.
I don't know. I don't see it. I think he's going to retire. Wow. I think this is his last, like, his last hurrah, to be honest. If he goes to AEW, I don't know, but I think this is his last, you know, before his contract's up, I think this is the last thing.
Do you think they put the belt on him and then have Kofi take it back?
If they want a good storytelling, yeah, they should. Absolutely.
Yeah, like, I don't mind if they take it off Kofi,
you know,
but have him go back at it with Ziggler.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe do a retirement match.
And that motivation, I think it was in Raw. Was it Raw? I think it was Raw, yeah. That he goes, I'm happy. When Ziggler goes, I think it was Raw. I'm happy for you. I was there, being happy, defending you that you got the championship. But I should be the one, you know, it's me. It's not supposed to be you. It's supposed to be me. It's, you know, and the way he delivered it, it got me chills, man. A little bit. I'm telling you, man. I think this could be a good feud, and I think it would be good if he lost it, if Kofi lost it, and then say, a little bit down the road, he won it again. He won it back. Yeah, like he's chasing for it. You know, so yeah, that's where I'm at right now. I think it's gonna be a good feud.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. But like Kevin Owens, I love the buildup. Yeah. This was kind of a problem. The infiltrating the.
The New Day. Yeah.
The whole thing worked.
Yeah, it did. It did. Well, you know why? Kevin Owens. That guy's awesome. You know, that guy's awesome. When he drops promos, I just want to listen to him the whole night, you know, because he's that good, you know, and his in-ring ability is amazing. You know,
he can move. You know, and that's the deceptive thing. He can move.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So
did you have a favorite spot or?
No, man, it's just like I thought it was like an all-around solid match. You know, I'm trying to remember. Like, do you have one? Because I'm trying to think, and I'm not sure.
I don't have one. I just think it was a solid all-around match.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The finisher, as always, was great. Kevin sold the hell out of that, out of it, you know. And I'm hoping that he doesn't get lost in the shuffle again. Oh, God, that would be horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but
yeah, what would you like to see them do with him?
Well, if you're gonna keep the tie, that belt, chase the U.S. belt in the future, it would be something. I mean, but if Samoa still has it though, no, my bad. The Intercontinental versus Balor, I think he's in SmackDown, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that I would like to see that Owens Balor.
That's a good call.
I would love to see that.
That's a really good call. All right, so Meltzer gave this match a 3.5. What would you rate it?
I'm not gonna agree with him. I think it was a solid 3.5.
Yeah, I think he's right on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's right on this one.
Yeah. All right. Good call, Meltzer, for once.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So now we have the WWE Universal Championship match.
Oh, man.
With Seth Rollins and AJ Styles.
All right. My opinion, match of the night, man.
Hands down.
Those two guys can, like, oh, my God, Jesus Christ. How long has it been since they last fought? Like 15 years?
Yeah, and it wasn't in a major,
a
major promotion either.
Yeah, exactly. It was like an independence. And, oh, my God, man. This is like AJ can put like great match after great match after great match. And Seth can do the same thing. And man, was the chemistry there. Like he was really there. Yeah. And they actually, you know, talk about how to get a build up with little time to it. They knew how to, you know, they're professionals and they know how to do it. I mean, if you talk about the build ups for this match, it was what, like maybe two weeks because it happened after the shakeup. And then AJ Styles won that, like, I don't know, there's like, he just won the opportunity. And then like the real buildup started in the contract signing, and it was there, like, you know, and you can feel it, and you can, like, you know, it took them a couple of weeks to make a great buildup, and which goes to the fact that you can actually do a great build in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But it's actually better if you have more time to it.
Oh, you know? If this was given a full...
Like month? Yeah. Month and a half? Oh, yeah. My God, dude. You know?
And I think what I like about these two together is that it's a good balance of technical wrestling and the high flyer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's never one that takes predominance. Like I said, they showcase both sides of professional wrestling.
Absolutely. And
I love that.
Yeah, and man, are they quick. They're fast in the ring, you know? They're very fast. It's impressive. And I'm not going to say, like, if I had a favorite spot or anything like that, it's just because I thought everything was, like...
Oh, everything was fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. It's just, I'll just say, like, in the story-wise, it's the back and forth. You know, move after move after move, and doing finishers and not, you know, and not winning with their finishers, and you know, they build like great drama in that match. I'm telling you, man, that was like the match of the night.
And I think both guys getting able to do their finishers, even though they didn't, you know, that didn't succeed with their respective finishes. I think it put both guys were put over in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Plus, to be honest, right now, AJ is above title. You know, he really doesn't need a title.
Yeah, he doesn't need
definitely
one.
Above title. He can do whatever he wants, you know, pretty much. So
yeah, he's got that pedigree. You know, he's one of those guys. Yeah, he earned. Exactly. You know, it's not to say I wouldn't like to see a title on him down the road, but but for right now, I was just happy that Seth got it because it took the belt off Brock, which we'll get to in a second, unfortunately. Yeah. But and I love the fact that at the end, you know, AJ came back in the ring and offered.
Yeah, which is part of the story, which well with the story.
Offered his hand, you know? Because I think you can't, you know, I get when AJ attacked him in the contract signing.
Yeah.
He pointed out, I did that, you know, because I felt like I had to make my move.
Exactly, yeah.
And it made sense, but to have turned AJ heel now, I think would be a wrong move.
It would have been.
So I'm glad.
I mean, and the crowd wouldn't like it. No. They tried it on SmackDown, and it didn't work at all. So don't hit the you can't turn him heel.
I'm glad the handshake thing happened. So that was a good moment. I like that, and I also like seeing stuff like that because it reminds me of WrestleMania 6 when Hogan and Warrior fought.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, that was as a fan, that was a rough one.
Yeah, that was
rough. Who to cheer for as a 6-year-old was it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I went for Hogan because I was more of a Hogan guy.
Yeah, me too. Well, I know.
Warrior was like 3 on my depth chart, but yeah, it really just reminds me of that. So I like when they do that.
Yeah, I know.
So what would you rate?
Rate this match.
Okay, Meltzer gave it 4.5. So.
Oh yeah, man. I'm there, man. I'll go 4.75, man. That was match of the night, man.
You know what? I'm gonna go full stop. I found nothing wrong in that match. Yeah. Nothing turned me off. Nothing disappointed me. That's a 5-star match for me.
Yeah, I know. It was a great match all around. Like, fantastic. Yeah.
It's a 5-star match.
Yeah.
So, last on the card was the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. So, it featured for 99.8% of the match, Ricochet, Baron Corbin, Drew McIntyre, Finn Balor, Randy Orton.
All of them great.
Andrade.
I love him.
And Ali. And it was supposed to feature Sami Zayn, but he was attacked backstage by everybody who assumed it was Braun Strowman. So he was out of the running.
Yeah, I know.
For the most part, I really, really, really like this match. It would have been match of the night. Would have been.
You're right. Except for that goddamn finish.
So standouts to me were, first of all, I'm not a fan of Baron Corbin. So this push of his has got to stop. He just sucks the life out of it. Like, when he shows up on Raw, I either mute the TV, go take a leak, or I'm falling asleep.
Yeah, I know.
So those are option A, B, and C. and we may quiz you on a future episode. What does Adam do when Baron Corbin comes on the screen? I don't understand this. They gotta, if they're thinking of putting a belt on him at some point, please don't. Nobody wants it, Vince. If you're listening, believe me, all opinions are subjective. But in this case, I think I speak for every wrestling fan.
Nobody
in the known universe. Nobody wants to run this guy.
Yeah. Nobody.
Standouts for me in this match were Ricochet.
Well, yeah, you know.
McIntyre.
Oh yeah.
And Finn Balor were the top three. Randy Orton and Andrade did great too. Ali showed a lot of promise.
Oh yeah.
You
can see why they like him though. You can definitely tell
Like if they give them the proper push, which is a question mark with WWE because who the hell knows what side of the bed McMahon is going to wake up on tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's just up in the air right now.
You know what I would like to see? To be honest, I would like to see a feud between Ali and Andrade. I think that would be fantastic.
That would be very good. Yeah, that would be very, very good.
Fantastic.
By the way, are you as shocked as I am to find out that Andrade is with Charlotte Flair?
Shocked. I was surprised. I was like, I when I heard about it, I was like, what?
I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
I know. Yeah, I know. It was weird.
That's no bearing on the match, but it's weird. Just weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, the stuff that Ricochet and Finn Balor do on top of a ladder, is absolute certifiable insanity.
Well, I mean, it's just like Ricochet in a ladder match. Oh gosh, did you see that the one in
NXT? You're asking for career-ending injury. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah,
they just.
I know. Did you watch the NXT one by any chance?
That was a while ago, wasn't it?
It was a ladder match. Like, yeah, they did some insane stuff. And
Yeah.
I know. But absolutely.
Did I see a flip? They did a, what's the move called now?
You might have.
The one where he jumps off the rope and does like that. The
360 or yeah. The.
Did I see that? I remember seeing that on the ladder.
Oh yeah.
Or something along those lines.
Yeah, I think.
When I saw it, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me?
I know. It's insane. And which gives me to like my little bit of rant. What are they doing with Ricochet now? Nothing.
This guy could be an Intercontinental Champion.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
And he could carry it well.
Yes.
I'm not saying put him against Finn Balor.
No.
But if Finn Balor loses,
or even the US, man, yeah. with Samoa Joe.
Yeah, make the US championship mean something, please.
I know. We'll see. I don't know. And then what happens? The ending ruins the show.
And by the way, McIntyre, I like him as a villain.
Oh, I love McIntyre as a heel. Oh my god,
I like him, and I like that he is a powerhouse.
Yeah,
he's just
that. His finisher, the Claymore. I love it.
That kick is insanity.
Yes, man.
When I see him do that to somebody, I'm like, man, there's a list of people that I would love to kick like that.
I know, me too. I hear you, man.
You know, like, and so I just. I'm so impressed with that guy, and I hope.
No, I am too.
I hope that he. See, he's the kind of guy that I would think, if you put a title on.
Oh yeah.
You can have somebody like imagine him as having the. Let's say he goes against Finn Balor at some point and wins the Intercontinental Championship, right?
Yeah.
And that's when you bring Ricochet into the fold and have this David versus Goliath situation.
That would be good. That would be good.
Look, there's no point in putting him against Roman Reigns.
No,
or not another big guy, because it's two big guys. Like, what? Remember, we talked about one off the top, Hogan and Andre. Despite the fact that they're both, you know,
big guys,
muscle bound guys.
Yeah,
they're it was they're still David, it was
oh,
David
yeah.
versus Goliath.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
exactly,
to a degree, Shawn Michaels versus Razor.
Oh yeah,
David versus Goliath.
That ladder match. Oh yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
So those, what I'm saying, those are the moments. Those are the I miss those David versus Goliath situations, I think they have it on the tips of their fingers.
And they have the talent for it too.
Yeah, with
like, the talent is there.
Specifically with Ricochet and
Balor.
Ricochet and McIntyre. If they put a belt.
Oh my God, that would be a great feud. Yeah.
And you know, everybody and their mother would be cheering for Ricochet.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely, 100%.
Like, why aren't they doing this? Like, why are me and you on a podcast at 9 o'clock in the evening?
I don't know. And, I mean, because one day when Triple H is running the show, you'll get to see it.
I hope so.
Yeah, I really do too, man.
Like, I respect Vince McMahon for what he's done for the industry, but buddy, hand over the reins and take your millions, and I don't know what you want to do with it. Roll in
the XFL. Do the XFL thing.
Do whatever you want, but just stay out of the booking, please.
Yeah.
For the love of God. But yeah, everything was great. I loved what everybody was doing, and I loved how, I think it was Ali and McIntyre that were the final two that were climbing the ladder opposite each other.
Yes.
And then cut to Brock Lesnar's music. And I thought,
yeah.
It went downhill for there.
I was like, oh no, I'm going to bed. That's it, I'm done.
I thought to myself, why is he here? Because I thought after Mania, I thought he was done.
Yeah, I know, me too.
I thought, okay, good. The championship's off him, he's gone. Good riddance. I don't care if he goes back to UFC. I don't care if he goes and lives with Sable and lives out his days on a farm or wherever the hell he's living. Like, I really didn't care. But I was glad that he was gone. And he's back. And not only that, he's not even in the match.
I know. I was so frustrated.
He climbs up the ladder and takes the briefcase. And, like, nobody in the crowd loved it.
Yeah, I know. It made me want to puke. To be honest, I wanted to puke. I was like, I'm going to bed. That's it. I'm done. I don't want to watch this anymore. And it was the end. But, you know.
Like, here's my thing. There weren't any, like, the audience wasn't even popping for it. You can audibly hear the groans.
Yeah, I know.
Of the audience.
Yeah, I know.
Nobody but Vince wants this. I'm convinced. Yeah. And Brock, because he wants the money to keep paying for that private, you know, plane that he owns.
Yeah, but exactly.
Nobody but the two of them want this. And, you know, it's no wonder that there's reports that, you know, there's unhappiness in the locker room in WWE. Why? Well, here's why. Because a part-timer is constantly getting the championship push, and it's ridiculous. Now, part of me gets why they're doing it. I think ultimately why they're doing it is because, you know how SmackDown is going to be under the ownership of Fox?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to have Brock challenge Kofi.
Yeah.
Eventually beat him in time for when the Fox deal kicks in. Because they want that face. At least, I mean, in the women's division, they already have it with Charlotte, right? That prestigious face. And the male prestigious face will be, unfortunately, Brock on SmackDown. So that's why I think he's going to challenge Kofi. I think it's a mistake to have him beat Kofi.
It's a huge mistake.
Like, I'd rather, honest to God, I'd rather, what's his name? Dolph beat Kofi.
I'd rather they have that feud. Yeah, I'd rather.
If Brock has to beat anybody for the title, have him beat Dolph. I'd rather that than see Kofi get
yeah.
Have to be a jobber.
The burn it down guy. Oh my God, I'm missing names right now.
Oh, Rollins.
Yeah, Rollins. You know, if you're gonna have a feud, then have it with him. You know, I don't know.
But I think they're gonna want Brock on SmackDown. That's just my feeling, because of the Fox deal.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's so frustrating, though. Oh God. Ugh. Those are the noises I made that day. Ugh.
Yeah.
No.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so I hope they don't do it, but that's my feeling that they are gonna do it.
Mm-hmm.
and so, but it just, like, I can see it coming, and that's the problem with it.
You know what? Yeah, I know. It's coming. It's gonna come. He's gonna win a chance.
It was a great match, but it was ruined by that ending. So
it was.
With that in mind,
mm-hmm.
What would you rate the match? Because Meltzer gave it a 4.5.
It's just that the match was that good. The match per se was a 4.5 good match. But I can't go there just because that ending sucked. Like, you know what? I'll be nice because all the other competitors gave it their all. I'll give it a 4.
Yeah. I'll give it a 4 because of everybody else.
Yes, exactly.
But it should have been a 5. It would have been, honest to God, had McIntyre or Ali won, it would have been a 5.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah.
So that, and it's unfortunate because
yeah, it is.
They ended a really strong pay per view on one of the most sour.
It was one of their better pay per views, actually. It was. It was solid.
It ended on a sour note. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's pretty much our take on the 2019 edition of Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Tavo, it's been great having you here.
Man, it was an honor, man. It's an honor to, like, you know, be invited.
So we hope if you enjoyed yourself, mm-hmm. We are going to have you on as a special guest for a lot of the other, most of the, yeah, the WWE pay-per-views.
Yeah. Which
the next one is Stomping Ground, I think it is.
I think you're right. I'm not sure. I got to check.
We'll definitely have you back for that one.
All right, man.
For sure. Okay. But in the meantime, if our listeners want to talk to you about wrestling on social media, where can they find you?
Well, they can find me on Twitter. I am Tavo PR on Twitter, TIVOPR. And that's basically what I use. I don't even use Facebook that much. So you can find me on Twitter with Tavo PR.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And if our listeners want to find me on social media, it's at Superhero Sci-Fi on Twitter, and we do have a Facebook page. It's the Facebook page is Tales from the DC Multiverse, the podcast, where we have all these other podcasts there as well. So if you want to talk about wrestling and Facebook is more your speed, you can hit us up on there and we'll add you to the group and we'll have conversations. But that's it for this week. We hope our listeners enjoyed it as much as we did recording it. And as I always say, until next time, know your role, shut your mouth, listen to this podcast, and Hulkamania runs wild forever. So, all right, everybody. Bye.